And now we explore the life of the late composer Florence Price, who wrote more than 300 works for piano, symphony, orchestra, voice, organ, and more. She combined classical music traditions with the sounds of spirituals and West African rhythms, these influences of her culture. This is Juba for string orchestra. Are you familiar with the work of Black composer Florence Price? Join the conversation, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, conversation here. Stephanie Elkins is host and producer of Morning Classics, which airs on both the WPR's News and Music Network and the All Classical Network from 9 to 11 weekdays. Stephanie, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Kate. So great to be with you here. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to talk about Florence Price. And we just heard Juba, which is named for the Juba dance, which originated among enslaved people. Can you tell us about what she is doing with Juba?
It is such a wonderful rhythmic pattern. It came over with enslaved people from Africa, and they incorporated that rhythm and that music into the plantation music. And there's some syncopation. You hear a little bit of the blues there. And she uses a lot of the elements of traditional African-American music in her classical pieces. It's really neat.
I can't imagine how both painful and empowering it must have been for her to compose music that featured this rhythmic hand clapping that had originated among enslaved people. Can you tell us a little bit about her backstory and what her life was like?
She was a child prodigy. Her dad was very artistic. He was a dentist and an artist, and her mom was her first music teacher. And she grew up in this educated, artistic household in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was a mixed neighborhood at the time. Even Frederick Douglass was a guest in their home. And she ended up going to the New England Conservatory at a very young age to study. And she was one of the few selected to work with the director of the conservatory in studying composition. And she ended up with a double degree, organ performance and piano pedagogy. So she was just extraordinary.
What happened after she got those degrees and left Boston?
Well, she had started to compose already, incorporating some of that African-American influence. She headed back to Little Rock, and at the time, by the time she got back, things were not going so well there. The Little Rock that she knew was changing, and Jim Crow laws had been passed. There were riots. There were mobs. And she did get married. She was teaching. But the straw that broke the camel's back for her and for her husband was a horrific public lynching of a man named John Carter. And his body was dragged through the streets of Little Rock. And then the mob broke into a church, that Little Rock's largest Black church. And so that was it. They decided to get out.
And so she moved to Chicago. She was also a very spiritual person and connected to her church. What influence did that have on her compositions?
Oh, that was a great influence. Well, I think the faith that she had sustained her when she had to try and make it as a composer, being Black and being female. But the music of the church was what, which is sustained her quite a bit as well. She incorporated a lot of the great spirituals into her music, and she did it so skillfully as a craftsman. I mean, she was just as gifted as all of the greats of that era, working in that music into her classical forms.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from her. Florence Price, very broad and versatile in her compositions and creations. And this is a piece she wrote for the piano. It's called Fantaisie Negre, played by Elijah Stevens.
Thank you.
Oh, Stephanie, I can hear that mix of influences in there.
Yeah, that one is based on a spiritual called Sinner, Please Don't Let This Harvest Pass. And it has the pentatonic scales that so many of the spirituals have and just a rich romantic arrangement of that music. And that particular piece inspired a black dancer and choreographer who created a whole ballet based on it.
In 1928, a major music publisher accepted her work at the Cotton Gin for piano. Was this a turning point for her in Chicago?
She won a contest, and she came to the attention of the conductor of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, the all-white, all-male Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and he became her champion. And so at the World's Fair in, I think it was 1933, he featured her music front and center.
Wow.
George Gershwin was in the audience. The future governor of Illinois was in the audience. And so that was really a turning point for her, yeah.
We're talking with Stephanie Elkins, host and producer of Morning Classics on the WPR News and Music Network. We're talking about Black American composer Florence Price. You can join in. How did you learn about Florence Price? What do you want to know about her life and work? 800-642-1234. Steph, she also had a very close friendship with another Black composer of classical music, and that was Margaret Bonds. What was their relationship like?
They kind of had a symbiotic relationship. Price became a teacher to Bonds, both piano and composition. And then Margaret Bonds became the chief, I guess I would say, interpreter of Price's music, especially her piano music. And it was more than that because Price divorced her husband. There's some mention of abuse in that relationship. And the Bonds family took in Florence and her two daughters, and they all lived together for a while. And Margaret told stories about sitting at the kitchen table and working on orchestrating Price's pieces.
When you look at her works, she also played organ for silent movies. She wrote advertising music. She was, in a way, she was all over the place. She was doing lots of things.
She was. She did whatever it took, particularly after she divorced. And she would do whatever it took to make money. And she was always writing to publishers, trying to get her music published. She wrote a lot for her piano students. And those were her first real publishing income streams, were these little exercises for piano students. And she taught. And, she wrote jingles for WGN in Chicago. and she even wrote some pop tunes under a pseudonym. So, yeah. But it all really kind of comes back to creating music.
And some of her works were discovered, you know, relatively recently in 2009. What happened there in an old house?
Oh, my gosh, what a story. What a close call. There was a couple renovating a house south of Chicago. It had been abandoned. A tree had fallen in on it, broken windows, water all around. And they found stacks of handwritten music. And so, bless them, instead of chucking all that stuff into the dumpster, they Googled the name that they kept seeing on those manuscripts and discovered Florence Price, learned that the house had once been hers, and they also found out that the University of Arkansas had set up a special Price collection. And it turns out there were dozens of scores that were thought to be lost, including some violin concertos and some of her symphonic music that had never been published. So a lot of that music's been restored and edited and eventually published. And we're finally getting these new recordings to share.
Was this a home she lived in?
It was her summer home, apparently.
Okay. What a great discovery. And that is so fortunate that they were able to save all those works.
Yeah.
I want to end with her Symphony No. 1 in E minor, which was premiered by the Chicago Symphony in 1933. It's reminiscent of that African-American spiritual, the third movement titled Juba Dance. Steph, how do you think blending in African-American dance rhythms into the fabric of these classical compositions, you know, takes on a new life of its own?
Well, she is a beacon for underrepresented composers and performers. And, you know, she deserves to be heard. The music is equally as skilled as somebody like Brahms with the Hungarian dances or Grieg with Norwegian music. And she's encouraging to all of us, really. We need to be so much more open to this kind of music, especially by Blacks and women and people of color, because how many other treasure troves are out there for us to uncover?
And you're going to be presenting a conversation about her on March 2nd.
Right. It's part of the Badger Talks, and it's open to the public, and it'll be at noon on March 2nd, and I'll be sharing lots of her music and some photos and history and more backstory. So I'm really looking forward to that. And next week on the News and Classical Network, all of the hosts are highlighting some of her music throughout the day.
Steph, thank you so much for joining us and sharing her work with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Stephanie Elkins is host of Morning Classics on WPR, and as she said, she'll present a conversation about Florence Price on March 2nd through the UW Badger Talks program. You can find a link to that free event. It's at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.